This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
From APM, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update. Mario Draghi, the president of the European Central Bank, made the announcement a few minutes ago that interest rates are going to stay where they are, at record lows. The benchmark lending rate is 0.05%. The deposit rate is negative 0.2%. Here to talk about this and what it means is Adolfo Laurenti, chief international economist with Mesirow Financial. Adolfo, good morning.
Good morning.
So we just got word from the European Central Bank, the ECB, that it's going to leave interest rates unchanged. I'd love it if you could put that into some context for us. This has a lot to do with growth.
Yes, the European Central Bank stands pat, but it's vigilant because the economy in Europe stays very weak. Even Germany, that was the growth engine of the continent, is disappointing. Both the European Union and the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, has revised down the expectations. So I think the ECB is really waiting and see, but probably ready to act and do more.
And speaking of growth, we also heard from OPEC this morning. That's the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries. And that group has decided to cut its forecasts.
I think they are reflecting some weakness around the globe. It's not just in Europe. Think of China. Think of Brazil. There is a silver lining in this case that the cheaper prices at the pump is really putting money back in the pocket for American consumers. So we are entering these final 2 months of the year, going into Black Friday, the holiday season, with a high hope that maybe some extra spending may come on the way.
A little silver lining. Adolfo Laurenti, chief international economist with Mesirow Financial. Adolfo, thanks very much.
Thank you.
At a news conference on the heels of Tuesday's midterm election, President Obama said Republicans had a good night. For Democrats, there were only a few bright spots, and the minimum wage was one of them. Four traditionally red states voted to raise it: Arkansas, Alaska, Nebraska, and South Dakota. There was a non-binding increase passed in Illinois. So what could this mean for the president's push to raise the federal minimum wage? Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
When states put minimum wage increases on the ballot, voters tend to be supportive. But voters this week also flipped the balance of Congress in favor of Republicans, many of whom say they don't want to raise the minimum wage. Mixed message?
When you go into the ballot booth and cast your vote, there's no sign that says you're required to be consistent in the way you vote. Please proceed.
Jeffrey Berry is a professor of political science at Tufts University. He thinks Republicans won't agree to a federal minimum wage increase because it'd be too big a win for President Obama. David Newmark, an economist at the University of California, Irvine, says the state-by-state approach feels chaotic, but it also kind of works.
You might say that it makes more sense to have a $10 minimum in California and a 7.25 minimum in Mississippi than to have a $9 minimum in both.
Even before these elections, nearly two dozen states, plus D.C., had set their minimum wages above the federal level. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Podcasting's audience is growing along with its profits, and while some of the most successful podcasts have come from the public radio world, a podcast network focused on tech is doing extremely well thanks to advertisers. John Kalish reports.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
Twit was started in 2005, long before there was a Twitter. The network is named for its flagship podcast, This Week in Tech, a roundtable discussion with tech journalists. Leo Laporte had a long track record in TV and radio before he founded Twit. He says it's been successful since day one.
Being a profitable podcast network is not an easy thing to do, and you can count the profitable podcast networks on the fingers of one hand. I'm one of them, but that doesn't mean it's an easy thing to do by any means.
LaPorte hosts nearly half of TWiT's 30 shows. A live video stream of the tapings draws an audience of 3,000 to 4,000 viewers. But TWiT makes money because a loyal audience downloads 5 million podcast episodes a month, mostly as audio. That brings in $6 million in ad revenue a year.
I came to this from mainstream media. I had a built-in audience already. We have an ad sales infrastructure. We have a way of counting our downloads. And we have a very devoted community.
That community includes 1,000 geeks, some of them IT professionals, active in a chat room that weighs in on the tech topics while the podcasts are being recorded. It's a boon to LaPorte and his guests, which include tech writer John C. Dvorak.
I spend all my time monitoring the chat room because they have good suggestions and they will correct you if you say something stupid or wrong. And then you can correct yourself on the show in real time. And I find that very valuable.
TWiT's audience ranges from tweens to seniors and includes a sizable segment listening abroad. Fans have been known to turn out in droves when LaPorte does personal appearances. In 2011, when TWiT's new state-of-the-art studio was being built in Petaluma, California, listeners sent in $250,000 to help build the facility. I'm John Kalish for Marketplace.
Finally, voters in Rhode Island elected a Democratic governor on Tuesday. She edged out her Republican opponent by a few percentage points. A third-party candidate, Bob Healey, got 22% of the vote on a budget of $35. If we only spent $75, $80, he told a TV station in Providence, we might have won the race. I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.